This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, and all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net.
911, what are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was? Was it a person or an animal or?
I can't tell. All I know is that my sensor light came on and I just happened to glimpse and see this thing running across the yard. A good sized man or something that looks like a man. I don't know what it was. Just that it ran across the yard. Whatever it is, it's running. I couldn't catch it if I was going to chase it. Jesus Christ, you better.
Sure.
See ya.
Hello.
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Is he in your yard, sir?
Yeah, God, he's big.
Okay, what's he doing in your yard?
He's looking at me.
Okay. And the guy is on foot?
It's a big, real big person, that's all I can say.
Okay, but it is a person.
Yeah, I'd say it was a person, somebody really big, but he's all in black.
Is he a black male or a white male? Did you actually see whether, or was he just wearing black?
He's all black and he's big. He is big.
Strange Harbor, ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. This is Strange Harbor.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird.
The strange, the unpredictable, the uncaring.
And our guest today, welcome back, Richter.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Now, Richter, you're a critical commentator.
Yes, I am.
And you're a TV star, you're a famous person, and more importantly, you're a skeptic.
Yes, I think Bigfoot's real. However, I don't think it's real on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah. Is anything on YouTube real?
Yeah, there's too many so-called Bigfoot habituators with Bigfoot in their backyard talking in English and leaving glyphs as presents and, oh, look, a new stick structure. Thank you, my forest friend. Be sure to subscribe and join my Patreon account where you'll get exclusive content. That's where Bigfoot is now.
Oh, man.
The commercial Bigfoot.
It is. Absolutely. People have this misguided notion that you're going to make tons of money off of Bigfoot when, in fact, you don't. Unless you're a hoaxer.
Now,
the truth, actually.
Speaking of hoaxers, have you seen Rick Dyer? And has he been doing anything?
No, he keeps telling me that he's got something up his sleeve, but he's not a perpetuating hoaxer. He does his hoaxes every few years. Like in 2008, the famous one that involved Tom Biscardi.
Uh-huh.
We all saw on CNN, the freezer hoax.
Yeah.
And there was the 2012 hoax where he allegedly shot and killed a Bigfoot behind a Home Depot in Texas, which was not true. But, you know, people bought it hook, line, and sinker because they're just so desperate to believe. So if he's hoaxed twice, you can be sure to bet that he's going to be hoaxing a third time. When? I don't know, but you know it's coming. It'll happen.
Can you or would you name other alleged hoaxers, or is that getting too,
No, I'll be more than happy to. Anybody on YouTube saying they've got Bigfoot activity and they're showing you BS in their videos, asking you to subscribe to the channel, hoax. Real researchers don't tell you to subscribe to their channel. Real researchers are out there doing the fieldwork, doing the documentation, the due diligence necessary to try and find any kind of credible evidence that can be given to a forensic specialist to analyze. That's real research. YouTube and research do not mix. It's oil and water. And you can't be one or the other.
That's awesome.
It's the truth, yeah. The absolute truth.
Do you ever face like scrutiny from other people being just so honest?
Myself, yeah.
Yeah.
Every day. Richter, you need to believe. Bigfoot's real. And I'm like, I think it's real, but you need to take the belief out of it. It's too belief-based.
Yeah.
It's, I think it's real because of the Native American and all the different tribes and all the different names for this creature and the similar, highly similar stories about a wild creature and its bad juju to be left alone. You know, all across the Pacific Northwest. It's not like the Native Americans are all getting together saying, hey, let's mess with the white man. No. You know, they knew their environment. That can't be ignored. I want to recommend people to check out Kathy Moskowitz Strain, her book about Native American myths and legends about Bigfoot. It's highly fascinating, and it's a well-documented chronological piece of work that she's made regarding this creature and its relationship with all the different Native Americans on our continent.
So what about like researchers like David Pilates? How do you feel about his type of, well, research?
I wouldn't call him a researcher.
Mm-hmm.
His first priority is to write books. And I might add, he also self-publishes. He's a self-published, create-space author. Now, there's nothing wrong with self-publishing. But at the same time, he comes off very strong, and he implies between the lines that it's Bigfoot that's abducting these people and taking kids on hundreds of mile treks across our, you know, national forest and dropping them off in the middle of nowhere type of stuff. So, you know, everybody has an agenda, and there's nothing wrong with agendas. We all have bills to pay. But I also like to believe in authenticity. With me, you're getting a critical commentary Bigfoot personality. I would never really truly call myself a researcher because I'm not out in the field day in, day out. That doesn't mean I don't have something to contribute. But you know, you're getting with me. You know what I mean? David Pilates, he's a great author. He's a great storyteller. I wouldn't call him a researcher, though. Now, he's done a good job combining and collecting these missing person stories, but being that I am a family member of a missing person at one time that turned out to be a fatal incident regarding my brother, I would be mad as hell if he included a chapter in his book regarding a family member of mine. You know what I mean? So making money of missing persons and the loss of loved ones, that's kind of shady in my opinion. But, you know, hey, everybody has to make the buck. So I'm not going to stop them from doing it.
Now, we talk about UFOs and alien abduction and ghosts and things like that. Where do you stand on those types of experiences or occurrences?
Well, you know, UFOs are scary stuff, man. Think about it. If this flying saucer phenomenon is truly real from another world, aliens can drop your butt on Mars and leave you there. Aliens can do horrific things to you if they so choose. Like, you know, you've heard this famous analogy where, you know, if you were to step on an anthill, would you feel bad? Well, that's the same with aliens, how they might look down on us that we're primitive, you know? So I do think UFOs are real and aliens. Obviously, there is evidence for it. Since the Department of Defense released that video of our U.S. fighter jets chasing a, what do they call it now? Unidentified aerial phenomenon near San Diego off the ocean. You know, that's a phenomenal piece of video evidence, you know, which is better than what we have so far right now in regards to Bigfoot. So as it stands right now from a scientific point of view, unidentified aerial phenomenon, UFOs, whatever, are likely to be real before Bigfoot. Hence, we have footage released from our own government. That says a lot. That's leaps and bounds more than what we have from the Patterson-Gimlin Bigfoot film footage. You know, so. And remember, guys, and your listeners, there's an ounce of truth to every rumor out there with a gallon of BS. Remember that. And you have to dig through the gallon of BS to get to the truth. And that's what takes a long time and patience. You're not going to find the truth overnight. It takes a long time to get to the really good. Just be patient. Don't lose faith. Here you go, talking about belief again. I hate that. Someone's just seen. Keep focused. You know, don't give up. Because at the end of the day, it's out there. We just need to find it.
So what do you think is the truth?
In regards to Bigfoot,
yeah.
UFOs, what?
Anything.
I believe that,
any kind of paranormal experience.
Belief. I think. Put think back into Bigfoot. Take the belief out. I think the truth of Sasquatch lies with the Native Americans and the fishing game They know what's up. Because I've had conversations with fish and game officers, and they're very serious about the subject matter. If you were to shoot and kill a creature that resembles a Sasquatch or is a Sasquatch, they can confiscate a body, even though it's not a registered animal on national land. But because it's an unclassified creature being shot on national land, they can take it. And then they said that they would have it analyzed by a doctor that has the credentials to do so. And I'm like, okay, well, now who would you have do that? And then the forest ranger told me, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. And he was dead serious. And this is a guy that was part of the Fish and Game and the Forestry Service that raided our Bigfoot expedition up in the Sierras when we were at the alleged Justin Smeda kill site. Well, I remember the story, Justin Smeda shot and killed a baby Bigfoot and then shot a bigger Bigfoot. Remember that story from that 5 years ago? Yeah.
Right.
That's BS. That never happened. You know, it was a great story, but it took me many years to finally realize the truth. No Bigfoot was shot on that day. But you know what? As an alleged Bigfoot hoaxer, Justin Smeda did a lot for the Bigfoot world because he kept the interest alive. It was not even a reality show that I was on. Bigfoot Bounty had Justin Smeda on the show. And there was a big debate between the hunters and the Bigfooters whether or not you should kill a Bigfoot. You know, this man said he killed Bigfoot. Okay, well, where's the proof? There was no proof. It's just another story. So
what's...
Yeah, Fishing Game is... You got to listen to what the Fish and Game Rangers have to say. They'll tell you straight up.
What is Justin Smeda doing now? Do you know?
Well, in the news a few months ago, it was revealed that he allegedly was poaching and was caught for it, and supposedly was forging some tags, and he has some issues in regards to the court system, and you know, he might have to do time. It was in the news. So if you Google Justin Smeda, you'll see. It's not looking too good for him right now.
Did he ever come clean about the whole hoaxing thing?
Not publicly, no.
No. Because he had, like, a lot of people backing him up, like Bart Catino. Mm-hmm. And
you know, Bart Catino is a wonderful Bigfoot researcher. I adore the heck out of him. He has invested a lot of time and money for his own personal project in regards to the shooting up there in the Sierras. He goes up there quite a bit every year. I wish him well. You know, maybe he did get something on his night vision, his FLIR. But, you know, if you're out Bigfooting with an alleged hoaxer, whatever you find is going to be forever tarnished. If I went Bigfooting with you, Johnny, and we brought Rick Dyer up this, and then we filmed an amazing piece of footage of what is a Bigfoot, because Rick Dyer was with us, come on.
Yeah.
We're going to be a laughing stock.
I got you.
Yeah, you'll have your 100 people that are going to be like, yeah, that's real. But you're going to have like 500 more saying, that's not real. Come on, guys, you're with Rick Dyer. You guys are hoaxers. No matter what you say or do, you're screwed.
You got a point. So how would Richter do it? Going out researching, being a researcher, or just researching the truth? How does Richter do it?
Fortunately for me, I was trained by Dr. Disatel from New York University on how to collect DNA evidence effectively without contaminating it with our own human primate markers. So let's just say I were to stumble on a suspicious piece of bio evidence. Let's say it's a hand. That's clearly not a bear claw. Because, you know, bear claws kind of look like human hands when it's decomposing. But nevertheless, whatever this piece of flesh and bone is, I would collect that DNA as perfectly as I could, wearing a mask, taking photos of it, wearing gloves, using the correct tweezers and, you know, vials and paper bags for collecting hair, et cetera, documenting what I'm finding. The most important thing, next to doing it that way, is to not broadcast it on social media. Hey, guys, I just found proof of Bigfoot, blah, blah, blah. Well, what if it isn't Bigfoot? You're automatically now a hoaxer. You're leading people on. In a field where it's so belief-based, no, keep your mouth shut. You know what I mean? What if it is the holy grail of Bigfoot evidence? Keep your mouth shut. Get that evidence collected quietly and effectively and have it analyzed by respectable people. unlike, in my opinion, Dr. Malva Ketchum. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Have a real doctor with credentials behind them that knows what they're doing. Analyze the evidence. Are you in it for attention, or are you in it for the discovery of the species? What is your agenda? What are your priorities? And unfortunately, in the world of Bigfoot, it's filled with a sixth-grade education. It's the truth. I see it every day on social media. Now, there are smart people out there looking for Bigfoot, like Derek Randall's with the Olympic Project, Bob and Kathy Strain with the Wood Ape organization that's happening in Oklahoma, southeast Oklahoma. There are people out there with true credentials behind their names that don't have an agenda, and I highly respect them. But they're very few and far between. There's like five, in my opinion, five or six true, real researchers that aren't out to make a quick buck and lead you astray and to get you to subscribe to their YouTube channel. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I would do. Very quietly collect the evidence and see where it goes and not broadcast it.
You know more than most. Like, can you explain who Malva Ketchum is, what she's done, and what she's doing?
Malva Ketchum appeared on the scene around 2011, 2012. She really gave quite a few people a lot of hope in regards to wanting to get Bigfoot Sasquatch DNA and have it analyzed and, like, you know, provide true evidence of Bigfoot. And people would send her their collected evidence, teeth, toenails, hair. But then she would make the people that sent her these pieces of evidence sign NDAs. What? You know what I mean? You're making people sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, so you can't talk about what you found and who you're giving it to and the process of it being, you know, analyzed. And then when Finding Bigfoot was on TV and they were having evidence be analyzed by some forensic doctor, Malva Ketchum started to broadcast on her social media that her findings are coming out and this is what I have and the scientific community is judging me and, you know, they're not accepting the new science that I'm bringing. Well, who are you? You're a veterinarian. And you know what? In my opinion, you cannot change the rules of an established scientific community. You know, you might have new evidence, but do it the right way. Don't say the evidence is half human, half angel. There's no DNA of angels. How can you test something that is of divine origin? You can't. You have to take the religion, take the belief out of Bigfoot, like I've been saying all day here so far with you guys. So, you know, she kind of dropped the ball on many accounts. But see, that didn't stop her. Oh, no, because she has her own agenda, her own priority. She created her own scientific review journal called DeNovo to get her paper out, which you had to purchase to find out what exactly was Bigfoot from all her hard, tedious work of analyzing the Sasquatch genome. It was bunk from the very beginning, and I was her biggest cheerleader. I was supporting her. I had so much faith in her. Like an idiot, I lost personal friends because I was like, no, this is a real DNA researcher, and she's been collecting evidence over years, blah, blah, blah. And my personal friends were like, Richter, get your head out of your posterior. I don't want to say that word. You know, get your head out of your butt. You need this. If it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's not a scientific DNA analyst or a Bigfoot. And my friends were right, you know. The DNA that was given to her by Justin Smea, he personally held that DNA in his bare hand, therefore contaminating the evidence. That didn't stop her. No, she said it was half human and half unidentified, you know, was it the Nephilim or the angel stuff, blah, blah, blah. Yet Dr. Sykes analyzed the same kind of evidence that Justin Smea had, that's there. Mm-hmm. So then you have two different doctors with conflicting results. One says it's bare, the other says, you know, it's mitochondrial. Mitochondrial was human, the nuclear DNA was unidentified from Dr. Ketchum. You know what I mean? So it was a circus. It's just, oh my gosh. You know, I learned the hard way. You know, the longer you're in the field, guys, the more you are able to weed through the bad ones and find the good ones. And there are good, true, honest, and respectable scientist out there. So you just got to, you know, stay focused.
So
stay on course.
There were quite a few researchers like Scott Carpenter, I believe Derek in the Olympic Project, and all these groups mm-hmm. that submitted evidence. Was all that evidence just bare or not known? Or
I can't speak for what they sent and what they gave her. However, it's like dropping your kids off at Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch. Dude, what are you doing? That's your pride and joy. That's the best thing you have. Why are you endangering your evidence to be, you know, mistreated? In my opinion, mistreated by somebody with their own agenda to have you sign an NDA. You know, that's crazy. That's wrong. That's not how real science works. You know, so like I said, I can't speak for their evidence and what they did, but you know, what's the saying? Shame on me once, but shame, if it happens to me a second time, what's the saying? Shame on me. No, shame on you.
Yeah.
Second time, shame on me.
Yeah.
I have a horrible time with idioms. So, yeah, shame on you, then shame on me. And, you know, if Scott Carpenter and Derek were to continue sending any evidence they find or collect to Melba Ketchum, shame on them. I'll say it. I love Derek. Do anything for him. But I think they know better now.
What do you think of the nests in the Olympics that were brought to their attention by, I think it was Department of Natural Resources or whoever?
I find that to be fascinating. However, I have a problem with what some people, including Cliff Derrickson from Planet Bigfoot, did. I love these guys. Cliff, Shane Corson, who's a researcher with the Olympic Project, Derek, I love all of them. But let's say a photograph where Cliff Derrickson is lying in an alleged nest.
Mm-hmm.
He's contaminating it. What if that one nest, out of all the ones that they found, what if that one had the holy grail of Bigfoot research?
Yeah.
Well, with him lying in it, he's contaminated it. Now, granted, maybe that wasn't a nest he was lying in, but why would you take a photo implying that you're lying in a Bigfoot nest when this subject is already under such a big magnifying glass of scrutiny? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why post that on what? I said, I would do things differently. I'm not condemning the Olympic Project. I love what they're doing. They're the number one Bigfoot research organization in my book. However, I would not have taken photos like that because I think it's damning. What is your agenda? What is your true priority? You know, Cliff, you're on TV. You're a Bigfoot TV star. You've had a very successful TV run with Finding Bigfoot. I'm not finding Bigfoot, let's be honest. But nonetheless, you know, he's got to sell conference tickets. He's got to make a living, and he's got to... Now Cliff has that shroud of Turin of Sasquatch, a Bigfoot footprint on a piece of fabric from a futon. You've seen that online, haven't you?
Mm-mm.
It's like Bigfoot is following the parallels of Christianity when it comes to finding evidence. Now we have the shroud of Turin when it comes to Sasquatch. Way to go, Cliff. What if that's real? It could be real. I'm not, you know, poo-pooing what he's found along with... who else was with him? Who else found that? Wasn't that Paul Graves? I believe it was Paul Graves, was informed of this particular Bigfoot footprint on a piece of fabric of futon. Yeah, you guys, your listeners need to Google this. It's rather interesting, and it's funny at the same time. It's like, you're picturing the shroud of Turin and a Bigfoot. You know, these guys have books to sell, and, you know, they have speaking engagements, and they've got to fill conferences, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I like to come from, you know, authenticity and a point of view where, you know, what's your true agenda? What's the priority here? What's it about?
More Richter coming up on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, and our guest today, Richter Riolo, co-star of the TV show Bigfoot Bounty, podcaster, YouTuber, critical thinker.
I'm wondering why people are so afraid of UFOs and about talking about it. You know, it's like if you talk about it, especially in a corporate setting, you know, they want you to shut up. They want to fire you. So what is it that's so frightening about this?
What's really frightening is man's greed, and there's money to be made off of UFOs. For instance, let's say what happened in Roswell truly happened. There's a story and there's rumor that our computer boom with, like, you know, fiber optics, et cetera, the microchip, you know, the heat shields used for the space shuttle, there's a lot of rumors and stories that that was all reverse engineered from whatever it was that crashed in Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
Money, money, money is the driving factor of all humans. It's the truth. It's fact. You know, look what's going on in our personal, our government right now. You know, we have a very rich billionaire as a president. Look at all the scandals and all the things that's going on in the media. You know, it's all money-based. And if crashed UFO, you know, people will kill for money, especially that kind of money, especially with multi-billion, billion-dollar, you know, contracts with companies that can reverse engineer, that can, you know, create something and profit off it. So profit comes first before human life. That's what's truly frightening when it comes to UFOs and aliens. Not so much you're going to be abducted tomorrow night and chopped off, you know, 5 miles later naked, like, what's his name, Travis Walton?
Yeah.
You know, so that's what's really frightening is the human greed when it comes to the money aspect of UFO and that kind of technology. Sounds very X-Files, and it sounds very scary, but it's the truth. It's the world we live in. Hopefully that answers your question.
Hey, where is your YouTube channel, by the way?
YouTube.com/Richter, R-I-C-T-O-R. I offer shows interviewing Bigfoot researchers called After Hours with Richter, and I have a very funny comedic show called Off the Richter, where I make fun of the hoaxers and attention whores and liars on YouTube. That's the most popular I've produced.
Now, you were on the Bigfoot Bounty TV show.
Yes, on Spike TV. Yes.
What was that like?
It was a lot of fun, actually. I learned quite a bit. I was the book nerd Bigfooter. I had yet to do Bigfooting, quote-unquote Bigfooting. I had gone camping many times, but I've never gone out in the woods looking for a mysterious, mythical, hairy creature known as Sasquatch. So Spike TV pops my Bigfoot cherry. And, you know, I learned the hard way, you know. It was boots on the ground, go, don't touch that plant, that's poison oak. You know, I learned about, you know, game trails and water sources. My partner and I found a tremendous stick structure that couldn't be explained. Did Bigfoot make that? I don't know, but it was right by the river, the Klickitat River, there at was that in Oregon? Or is that in Washington? It was right by a salmon hatchery. So that makes you wonder, you know, salmon hatchery, water, you need water to survive, you need food, you need shelter, plenty of forestry by the Klickitat River. So it makes sense that, okay, that could possibly have been made by a Sasquatch. But then again, we didn't see what made that stick structure. So I won't say it was made by a Bigfoot. So that's where I'm, you know, on the fence with things. Until we visually see a Bigfoot do a tree knock or, you know, build a wanky doodle teepee stick structure, we can't say it's Bigfoot. We really can't. It's all theory. Or hypothesis, actually.
Yeah.
In order to have theory, you got to have a body. You don't have a body. So therefore, everything in Bigfoot is hypothesis. Until we have video, physical documentation.
Ghosts. Do you have an opinion or any experiences with the afterlife?
Yes, and I've been a big cynic of ghosts. I'm like, yeah, whatever. However, when my mother passed away a year and a half ago, some weird things happened here at the house. Can't explain. The one big thing that really kind of weirded me out, I was sitting in the TV room with a friend of mine, and then all of a sudden, the ceiling fan turns on. Now, in order to turn on the ceiling fan, it's on the wall. Well, me and my buddy were sitting there watching TV, and no one else was in the room with us. The ceiling fan came on, and the light switch was in the off position. How the heck does that happen? Now, was that a ghost? Was that my mother visiting? I don't know. But to me, that was kind of weird. We've had things fly off the wall. You know, did the air conditioning do that? Were they just, you know, bound to fall anyways because maybe the picture was hung poorly? I don't know. But, you know, things breaking and falling off the walls is kind of unnerving. Here's another thing that kind of freaked us out. The TV was suddenly turned on. A giant HD 72-inch, whatever it is, 80-inch TV. And the darn thing just came on out of nowhere at 4 in the morning, blaring. So the whole house gets woken up. I'm like, what the heck? What did that? Who did that? You know, can't explain it. Now, I don't know. A lot of people talk about ghosts being, you know, involved with energy and electricity, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not going to poo-poo it. After having that happen here at the house, after my mother died, you know, maybe there is something to ghosts. I don't know. It's like Bigfoot. A lot of it's belief-based. You know, so how can you prove ghosts are real? You really can't.
Yeah, you can't.
Right? You can't.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, do you have a moment, like a minute for another story?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so my mom was the last surviving relative of her cousin up in Canada who had passed away. So she had to go up there and do the funeral arrangements and clean out the house and put it on the market, et cetera, for her cousin Betty. Now, when my mom was there at the house, she said that she had an uneasy feeling. And when she was cleaning the house, in the basement, she found hordes of glass bottles. Cousin Betty was a secret alcoholic, and she never threw away her bottles of booze. And my mom found, she said it was amazing how many empty glass bottles were in that basement. She said it took her hours to empty it out and to throw it all out in the trash. And while she was carrying these boxes and crates full of empty booze bottles to the trash outside of the house, the door behind her, it was a screen door with one of those little screen door arms that keeps it from slamming. You know, it's like when you open the door and then it slowly closes itself behind.
Yeah.
She said that when she was taking the bottles out to the trash, door slammed behind her. And it was one of those screen doors that can't slam because of the little arm that, you know, from slamming. So that freaked her out. So my mom called another cousin of hers in Canada saying, I need you to come here and stay with me. Things aren't right here at the house. So my mom's other cousin, Jerry, she's a wonderful lady, I remember her, hung out and stayed with my mom. They would not sleep in the bedroom. They slept out in the living room. And one morning, after they were having breakfast, the two of them were walking down the hallway to finish the cleaning. My mom said, quote, what we saw was like an apparition across the hallway in front of us. That's my mom. My mom is very critical. If you think I'm critical, she was worse than me. Hmm. She said that was almost life-changing for her to have experienced that and seen that with my cousin. The two of them eyewitnessing an apparition in that house. Now, here's where it gets weird. The day of the funeral, when Cousin Betty was being put to rest, finally, at last, my mom said that when she and Jerry returned to the house, she felt like a weight had been lifted, that the house felt totally different, at peace.
Wow.
And that's, I have heard other ghost stories with similar patterns to the story, you know, when the person's put to rest, everything feels normal now. Yeah, you know, so maybe there's an energy that people leave behind. You know, Cousin Betty did not want people to know that she was a drunk and, you know, have all her booze bottles be found. But she should have hid the evidence and got rid of it first before she died. But then, you know, when you die, do you really plan on it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, those of you that have secrets and skeletons in your closet, make sure you take care of that before you die.
Yeah.
You will come back and haunt the poor people that are cleaning your stuff out.
That's right. Clean out your closets before you die.
Yeah. So, like, you know, like with Bigfoot, it's another story, you know, but, you know, there are patterns in all these stories that are very familiar, and, you know, it's like connecting the dots.
Are there any experiences, without, like, outing the names or the areas, that you might find the listener would be interested in or find interest in?
My personal experience is when I was on Bigfoot Bounty, and we were near Mount Adams, the lava beds, the dried lava beds, not too far from Glenwood, we heard screams. And these were loud, long, shrill, freaky, scary screams. We didn't see what was making them. I'm not going to say it's a Bigfoot. I'm not that guy. But it's interesting. You know, what was making those screams? It sounded like a woman being murdered. That's what it sounded like. And it was coming closer. But because we were a competition reality show, at midnight, the camera crew had to retire for the night because they were union. And we were like, but these screams are coming closer. And our producer's like, sorry, guys, you have to call it a night. So we had to leave. And it was like, argh! You know what I mean? So I would love to go back to that area and do more research and try and find out what exactly was making those screams.
Yeah.
So, was it a barred owl? Was it a coyote? Was it, you know, someone hoaxing us? I don't know. I didn't see what was making those screams. But, you know, near Yakima, that Indian reservation, you know, there's a, I found a human-shaped footprint in the middle of nowhere, miles from the nearest road, in dry mud. So could that have been a vagrant human being walking through the woods barefoot? Absolutely. I didn't see what made that footprint. However, it's interesting. It was human-shaped, big toe, little toes, excuse me, heel. You know, it was clearly not a bear double print. Because a lot of people get bear prints confused with Bigfoot footprints. But you've got to study the bear print. When a bear double steps on a print already made, it's pretty big, but it's very fat. You know, because bear print, bear paws are fat, very fat. And if you look at the Bigfoot slash human footprints and foot casts, there's a definite shape to it. Now, people will argue, oh, there's a mid-tarsal break, blah, blah, blah. Okay, that's all hypothesis. We don't have a body to extract any theories from. So we don't truly know if Bigfoot does have a mid-tarsal break. Granted, there's a lot of, you know, photo and physical documentation of a quote-unquote mid-tarsal break in the middle of the foot. However, we can't prove it. So, you know, everything's up to scrutiny. So whatever I found up there near Yakima was definitely human-shaped, but I don't know what made it. So all the weird things that I have experienced without being in the presence of an alleged hoaxer, like at the kill site with Justin Smith, was in Washington State, your state. So, you know, that's where I want to continue my Bigfoot research is in Washington, before Northern California and before anything in Oregon.
Why do you think it's been so difficult to find hard evidence of Bigfoot?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. A good friend of mine, her name is Sally Ramey, and she once used to be affiliated with Dr. Melba Ketchum. She's another person that, you know, got smart and walked away from her. Said this about dinosaur fossils. When you find dinosaur fossils, they're because of the dinosaurs having been killed in a flash flood or, you know, had died on a riverbed, et cetera, et cetera. We've never found dinosaur fossils in the mountains because of mountain erosion. That's where you have the most erosion, is in the mountains. So, Bigfoot bones, Bigfoot bodies, things like that, the forest will consume dead bio objects very quickly and very easily. And then there's erosion. As many times as I've been out in the woods, I have never found a bear carcass. I have found tons of deer bones and mountain goat bones, never found a bear carcass. But we know there's bears out there. There's bears everywhere out there in the woods. You know, so Bigfoot being so rare and its numbers probably being so small in compared to bears and deer, that's why we haven't found anything, is because the woods work against us. You know, the decomposition, the animals that eat the bones, et cetera, you know, and the erosion that happens. So that's probably why. But then, guys, think about it. What if something had been found, and what if that idiot reported it to the Fish and Game or the Forestry Service? They're going to come and take it, just like that one forest ranger told me in the Sierras, you know what I mean? If something is found on national land, it will be confiscated and taken to be analyzed. So.
Okay, let's play hypothesis, or let's play wishful thinking. What if, pretending? I find a Bigfoot body in the woods.
Yes.
What do I do?
Keep quiet. Don't broadcast it. Think. First of all, think. Focus. Breathe. Very important to breathe, because your adrenaline is going to be running high. You're going to be shaking. You're going to be freaked out. You know what I mean? You're going to be excited. If you're a big researcher, if you're just some random Joe Schmo dude that works in a cubicle 5 days a week and goes out hiking one day with your family, you're going to be like, what is that? is that a Bigfoot? You're not going to be really prepared to deal with it, and you'll probably take pictures of it and show your friends online, blah, blah, blah. But if you're a real researcher and you find something like you just mentioned, you got to keep quiet and think about, do you have the necessary tools with you, like a forensic DNA kit, to extract the DNA without contaminating it? You know, who's with you? Do you have people with you? Is this a fresh death body, or has it been decomposing for quite a while and kind of looks like a human but kind of looks like a bear? What are there claws? You know, what about it tells you that it's a Sasquatch? You know, you've got to be really critical with what you're looking at. And it all depends on the amount of decay that has happened. You know, is it complete? Is it a complete specimen? Is there a face? Is there a head that's still attached that's recognizably / gorilla human? You know what I mean? Decomposition, you know, our human bodies look really messed up when we're decomposing out in the woods because of the environment, the elements that are out there, the sun exposure, the moisture, et cetera, et cetera. Our skin turns black, you know? So look at that, that Iceman that was found years ago that was thousands of years old. What's his name? Otzi, I think his name is?
Something like that.
There's still flesh and skin, and he still had his organs. But you look like a dried-up grapefruit. You know what I mean? So what exactly are you looking at? What do you have with you to take some of this with you? Personally, Johnny, if you and I found something,
mm-hmm.
I'd be like, okay, A, are we safe? B, is this specimen safe? Is it in danger of being taken out by a rain? Is there a storm coming? Is it protected? Are we able to leave it alone and come back to it in case we don't have a DNA kit with us? When you find something like that, hopefully you're prepared. Hopefully you have in your 4x4 a DNA kit in case of emergency. Let's just say another word. In case of, you know what, you know, you need to be prepared, because trust me, if Bigfoot is real, and if you are that one lucky SOB to find it, are you prepared? And chances are you won't be prepared, you know? How many people said they saw Bigfoot and 1, 2, 3, it was gone, and it was gone before they could take a picture of their cell phone? How many times did that happen, you know, according to people's reports?
Hundreds.
So, yeah. So it all depends on where you are, your state of mind. And now let's say, Johnny, you and I do have my DNA kit. All right, we will follow the rules. Take pictures, take video if we can, document in our notes, time, location, GPS coordinates, put on your mask, put on your gloves, put the hair, get as many hair samples as you can, put it in paper bags. You don't want to put the hair in plastic bags because the plastic and the chemicals will affect the hair. So you got to have paper bags with you. You know what I mean? Get any flesh samples that you can. You know, if you have a machete, hack off parts and pieces of the arm, fingers, whatever. Then, Johnny, this is where my paranoia comes into play. Okay, so we have the agreement, guys. We're not going to tell anybody on Facebook. We're not going to be texting anybody or posting photos of us. Good. We're all on the same board. We're not going to talk about it on the telephone. You know, they always say, Big Brother's listening. You know, so we have to come up with a code word. We'll call it Uncle Ben. Hey, we found Uncle Ben. If we have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
You know what, Johnny? You're going to keep in your freezer pieces of the body that was collected, you know, professionally and effectively, and I'll keep some pieces in my freezer, and et cetera, et cetera. And we have the DNA that was found secretly hidden away at different locations where no one is going to be able to track and find, just in case people come out and say, oh, no, that wasn't real. But if we were to get, like, say, Dr. Disattel or National Geographic to look at what we found, you know, what if there is a conspiracy? I have to include that with what we find. You have to be prepared for any possible outcome. Because if Fish and Game were to come and take it, let's not give them any reason to.
Gotcha.
You've got to be smarter. You know, like, look at E.T. That kid was smart. Elliot. Yeah, it's a fictional story. But Elliot put the darn creature in his closet.
Yeah.
You know, so when it comes to Bigfoot, keep it in the closet. Don't let people know.
Before we wrap this up, Richter, how do I get a DNA kit?
That's just it. You can't go on eBay and buy one. You have to create one yourself. What I recommend your listeners to contact me, there's another Bigfoot researcher out there. Her name is Shelley Covington Montana. And she was named Bigfoot Researcher of the Year last year at the International Bigfoot Conference that's held in Kennewick. She's real big on collecting Bigfoot DNA the right way. And she can give you ideas on creating your own Bigfoot DNA kit on the cheap. Because, let's be honest, you know, tweezers can be very expensive, especially the forensic kind.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, all the different test tubes you got to buy. And, you know, I've spent probably over $200 on my personal DNA kit. So it depends on how much you want to spend. And, you know, I consider my DNA kit the Gucci, the Versace of DNA kits, whereas Shelley Covington Montana is more like the Walmart DNA kit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, when it comes to Bigfooters, Walmart's what they can afford. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just you know, you got to have something with you if you're going out there to look for Bigfoot, just in case you do find something. So it doesn't have to be expensive. It's just reach out to researchers. Another researcher to reach out to, her name is Cindy Dozen,
mm-hmm.
and she lives in Canada. And she's real big on Bigfoot hair analysis. She's smart. She's not an attention whore. She's the real deal, and she's affiliated with the Olympic Project. So you have Victor Riolo, Shelley Cummington Montana, and Cindy Dozen in regards to Bigfoot DNA kits. Kathy Strang, Moskowitz, she has helped me quite a bit with my DNA kit, and she's an archaeologist. She knows her stuff. So there are people out there for you to reach out to ask questions, who are probably going to be more than happy to help you on your quest. Because what if, you know, that Joe Schmo that's listening to you right now is the guy that gets the holy grail of Bigfoot DNA? You know? Yeah, so.
So how do I get a hold of you, or how do I find you on YouTube and all that stuff?
Well, my name is Richter Riolo. It's like Victor, but with an R. Just do a search on YouTube, you know, Richter Bigfoot. Boom, you're going to find me. Social media, like on Facebook, you know, same thing, Richter Riolo, R-I-O-L-O, and I'm more than happy to talk to people and guide them in the right direction that I think will help benefit them with their search and quest for the mysterious Sasquatch.
Riolo, is that Italian?
Sure is, Bubba. Yep.
That's a spicy meatball.
That's right. Big J, Bigfooter Italian, that's the word.
BigGayItalianBigfoot.com.
There you go.
Hashtag. Oh. Well, thanks again, Richter. We'll talk to you again on the flip-flop.
All right. You boys take care of yourself. Thank you.
Thank you.
So that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. Anything you want to throw in there? We kind of let him do everything.
Life is strange.
We let him do all the work.
We did. That was nice.
Blah, blah, blah. StrangeHarbor.net. Blah, blah. KBKW. Blah, blah.
And more blah.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at StrangeHarbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.